You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
No, I will look at the evidence that would support either way, innocence or not.
Thank you. I don't have any more questions, ma'am.
All right, thank you. Mr. Pryor, either on any follow-up to that bias topic, I'll permit, as well as any questions you have regarding the court's questions on the death.
Okay. And ma'am, part of your job, you understand, is to not just look at Mr. Daybell as anything he may have said, but you're also going to be looking at every single witness. You're going to be looking at police officers. You're going to be looking at witnesses. You're going to be looking at experts. Part of the process is to determine who you believe and what you believe. You agree with that, right?
Yeah.
And part of that is statements made by Mr. Daybell or anybody else. Part of your job is to evaluate and say, listen, I believe this, I don't believe this. And if you're doing the job of a juror, as you seem to be suggesting you will, that analysis will go on throughout the trial and you making a determination of who, what, where, when you believe. That be fair?
Yes.
And then lastly, your comment about death penalty, and this is at the bottom of number 12. And this is going to, I promise this is going to be my last question. Mm-hmm. Okay. I promise.
Yeah.
You said, do you feel the death penalty is used and you check too often?
Okay.
Yeah. And then you wrote in there, between the physical reasoning above, mistakes also happen. So this isn't saying that you're going to vote automatically against the death penalty, but in general, you're leaning that, you know what, I've got to be fair and look at both sides before I really make a fair assessment of this. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. Of course. Nothing else, James. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, counsel. That will conclude the individual voir dire for juror number 536. Thank you for answering those questions. We'll have you return with the bailiff to the jury room to await some further instructions before your release today. And thank you for your patience. Juror number 617, we'll talk to you next. We'll need a quick break, or should we keep going? I mean, I think we might be another bit here. I'm inquiring for staff, too. Are you okay, Mary? Okay.
The state's okay.
Thanks.
Sorry,
I just asked if anybody needed a quick break or recess before we got through the rest.
I think we're ready to just push through, Judge. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Welcome back, Chair number 617. This is the time we've got you here for some individual questioning on these questionnaires. I'll note there's been a minimal discussion, but some knowledge of the case and not much in the way of hardship. So if the state would like to make any inquiry as to any potential bias, we'll start there and then I'll allow the defense to follow.
Thank you, Your Honor. The only thing I saw on potential bias, so I just wanted to follow up with you. It looked like you had maybe limited media exposure or limited knowledge of the case. You had written a statement on a question regarding your ability to act impartially. You had written, I would try to act impartially. So I was just going to follow up with you as to what you meant by that.
Yeah, I don't know how you could live in Idaho and not know about the case. And so I've tried to, especially I haven't watched it all the news. Any reference comes on since. And actually, I stopped watching it because it's sort of, beating us up with it a long time ago. Yeah, I mean, it was on Dateline and everything. And so I think it's important to try. Like I said, I'd do my best and maybe listen to the evidence and stuff because I think a jury, serving on a jury, it's like one of the things of the American that we do the continuity of your office, a trial by the jury and your peers. And so it's to me, it's almost like it's like something that's close to most American citizens. So we try to you'll do your best for the person in the jury. Like you said, for both sides, that should talk today.
And when you talk about the media coverage that you saw, and you said that you will try, and I appreciate your honesty. So knowing everything that you've seen and heard, do you feel that you could set that aside and act impartially, or do you still have concerns as to whether or not you'd be able to do that?
You know, I would try to handle that. It's like, they said, I stopped a long time ago. I didn't even watch the Dateline thing ever. Because it's just been overwhelming. It's overwhelming. I think I can set it aside. I'll do my best.
I don't have any further questions. Thank you for that.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Pryor. All right. Next topic, then, journal number 617. There is a section of the questionnaire that you filled out, and it's entitled Attitudes Regarding the Death Penalty. Do you recall reading through those questions and answering those?
Yes.
And are your responses contained in your questionnaire still accurate as to the way you feel as you sit here today?
It is.
Okay. I'm going to walk through some of these responses you have here. You made a comment in opposition, and also it says, do you support or oppose the death penalty? You indicated you oppose it. Is that accurate?
Yes.
All right. Now, just so you know, that what I'll try to resolve here are your responses on that part C and D with the response you have on the next page. And again, we're just getting information. So I'm on page 12. And kind of right in the middle of that page, there's a question C, 1C on page 12. And it says, if you've located it, do you feel that your views on the death penalty would prevent or substantially impair your ability to view the facts impartially? And you said no. And then the next question, do you feel your views on the death penalty would prevent or substantially impair your ability to return a guilty verdict of first-degree murder against the defendant, even if the state had proven its case beyond a reasonable doubt? You said no, that would not impair that ability. At the bottom of the page, you say it should never be used. And then if you just flip over to page 13, and I'll have you finally review your response at the very bottom of the page where you circled G.
Yeah, I strongly need that.
Okay, so the questions I'm going to have following up. If in this case the court were to give you instructions indicating that you had to consider the death penalty, and let me go back before I finish that comment and say to you, as we've said, in this case, it may be necessary for you to make a determination. So this is not a hypothetical. And a determination in regard to imposing the death penalty or some other penalty. And also, you'd have to consider here this, you should consider that this could be done and it would be absolute and would be carried out in this case. So if that's where what you are considering, if the court were to instruct you that you were to consider death penalty, would you be willing to do that?
I'm sorry. If that's the only option, I wouldn't be able to do that. If we couldn't vote for life, alcohol, things like that.
Okay, so if that's the case, do you think your views now on the death penalty would prevent or substantially impair your ability to perform your duty and follow jury instructions if those instructions were included here?
Okay. You know, I have a hard time being with it because I don't know how your instructions will go. I can't imagine you going to go back and sentence this guy to death. if we're given the choice to do the penalty, why couldn't we vote for life in prison without parole? But if the only choice is the death penalty, I couldn't do it. I just truly could not do it.
Okay. And again, your personal views are absolutely protected and allowed, and we're just getting to a question of whether or not you are able to serve in this particular case where this is an issue. I guess another way I would ask it then, and just to be clear, it's not necessarily some sort of voting system, but in terms of an instruction you would receive of considering how much proof there is or is not to determine if the death penalty should be imposed. If that's where this case ended up, are you telling me unequivocally that you would not be able to follow an instruction if it required you to consider and or impose the death penalty if the state gave you enough evidence that you had to do that?
Sure.
You would not do it under any circumstance. Okay, thank you so much for your candid responses. Let me ask the state if they have any follow-up for this juror.
Your Honor, the state has no follow-up questions, but would move to excuse this juror.
All right.
Based on those responses.
Mr. Pryor.
Okay. Ms. Blake, please repeat, and then I'll go on to Mr. Pryor's position.
Your Honor, based on the juror's response that he unequivocally could not impose the death penalty, if it came down to that, the state would move to have this juror removed for cause.
All right. There's been a challenge here, Mr. Pryor. What's the response? And you may inquire on voir dire if there's any rehabilitation.
Judge, may I pursue some rehabilitation?
Yes.
And Judge, can I have permission to stand up? We've been sitting for some time.
If you'd like, yeah. Podium? You may approach the podium. Just make sure you use the microphone.
And juror number 617, I want to clarify something. If you were chosen as a juror in this case, and the judge gave you an instruction that said you were to consider either life imprisonment as an option or the death penalty as an option, would you follow the court's decision and agree to consider both of those?
Would.
Okay. And let me finish that, if I could, sir. Would it be fair to say there are circumstances that you would consider the death penalty?
No.
Okay. Could I give you an example? Would you mind talking about this a little bit with me?
Sure.
Okay. It sounds like when you made mention that you think that it's a high honor to serve on a jury and it's our obligation as citizens. Would you agree with me in that regard? Okay. And as a high honor, it's also part of our laws of our country to protect our country. Our president's job is to protect our country. So there are our very brave military and our police officers and all of the folks that are involved in any aspect of law enforcement. If we were attacked in a foreign country and they started engaging in genocide, do you understand what genocide is?
Yes.
And they started killing people needlessly. And at some point there was some sort of trial. And it's an egregious act. Children, young people murdered on the streets. Horrendous acts of violence against people that are citizens in this country. And at that point, we have to make a decision. And the options are to consider the death penalty. And if it means we have to take actions in order in the future to protect our country, is that a situation where you would consider voting to impose the death penalty on a situation like that?
I didn't go by this like it. It's who I am. And I believed it for years. I believed it from my teens. And once I became and joined the Catholic Church, my Pope said it would be wrong. It just reinforced it. It is part of my makeup. I have it in my family. If I was killed, if I died by another person's hand in a violent act, my family is not to let the prosecutor pursue the death penalty. I understand, and I think I'm a loyal American. I would defend this country, it's different in a war, you've taken somebody's life, but I don't feel it's right. I don't feel it's justice. I feel it's revenge. It's I'm sorry. I cannot vote for the death.
And sir, there's no apology needed because you know what? I think I spoke with all of the folks earlier and said there's no right or wrong answer here. It's what each of us individually believe in our hearts. So there's no need to apologize because what you believe, what we're trying to establish is, and my questioning is not to get you to change your mind. That's not what my intent is here, sir. What I'm trying to do is find out whether there is a very narrow exception that says, yes, there are exceptions where I would consider the death penalty. And they would be very narrow, but I'm not absolute. I've got some situations where I would consider that. But I think you've answered my question. And I appreciate your candor, and I appreciate everything. And I'm not trying to disparage you or in any way. As I stated to all the other jurors, there is no right or wrong answer. It's what each of us honestly believe, and to tell the court what we believe in. And I want to thank you for your honesty. Thank you, sir.
All right. The court has considered the motion to strike as to this particular juror, juror number 617. The juror stating unequivocally they would be unable because of personal views and beliefs to follow or unwilling to follow an instruction if it involved imposition of the death penalty. The court finds there is cause to strike juror 617. Thank you so much for your candor in expressing your opinions on that issue. You can be excused with the sincere thanks of the court for your service today and for last week filling out the questionnaire. And we will go ahead and discuss this with another juror. And you can be excused. Please drop your questionnaire off with the bailiff. Juror number 631. All right, thanks for returning, juror number 631. For individual voir dire, counsel, there's a bit of a expression of concern on hardship. And there was a request for hardship excuse. Let me just start off by asking for a little more detail. You stated maintenance of medical equipment at a hospital. Can you explain how that issue would be addressed by you if it's still a concern?
I was the only technician trained at our hospital. We work on anesthesia machines. I've spoken with management about that. They will call in an outside company if I do get selected.
Okay, so you no longer have a concern about a possible hardship if you're required to serve in this case? Okay, thank you for clarifying that. Counsel, I don't see any other grounds of inquiry in terms of bias or hardship, so I would propose we move on to the next topic. Does the state agree?
Your Honor, if I just ask one question.
Go ahead, Mr. Rowan.
Juror 631, would this pose any type of financial hardship?
No.
Okay.
My company pays for it.
That's it.
All right. Any questions?
Thank you, Judge.
All right. So the next topic the court wants to discuss with you, then, Juror 631, is in relation to your attitudes regarding the death penalty. You filled out a section in your questionnaire starting on page 12 there and advised us of your views on the subject. Are the responses you made there still accurate in the way you feel as you sit here today?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Let me advise you in this case, it may be necessary for you to make a determination in regard to the imposition of the death penalty or some other penalty. And when you're thinking about that, you should consider that it would be done as if it's absolute and would be carried out in the case if that was your decision. So with that in mind, looking at your questionnaire, you've stated on the B section, the middle page 12, that given a choice of support or oppose the death penalty, you indicated you support it. Is that still the way you feel?
Yes.
Okay. And then just given a choice of selections about what accurately represents the way you feel, on page 13, you circled paragraph C, which reads, quote, I generally favor the death penalty, but I would base a decision to impose it on the facts, law, and instructions of the case, end quote. Is that still, you think, a accurate representation of your thoughts on the death penalty?
Yes.
Okay, where you've indicated you would follow the instructions if required to do that, one other question I'll have for you then. Would you, pardon me, would you be in favor of the death penalty on every case where a murder has been committed?
It depends on the case.
Okay, so if the instructions were there that you were to consider it, you would be able to consider it? If you were not instructed to consider it, or instructed not to consider it, would you be willing to follow those as well? Okay, that concludes the court's voir dire of this juror as it relates to the death penalty. Is the state wishing to have any voir dire on that issue?
State doesn't have any questions.
All right, from the defense, any questions?
Just a few. Sir, I'm looking at your questionnaire, and it's on top of page 14. Could you refer to that for me? And I'll read that as best I can. If you were in favor of the death penalty in some cases, do you agree that a sentence of life in prison rather than the death penalty would be appropriate under proper circumstances in some cases? And you marked the no. So I guess I'm just, and this is not a quiz or anything else. Obviously, I think we spoke earlier, and I mentioned that there's no right or wrong answer. It's what each of us personally believe in our hearts, and that's what we are trying to arrive at here. What are your personal beliefs, and what are those beliefs? 16 or 20 people, everybody has different beliefs, but there's no right or wrong. You get to say what your beliefs are and let us know so we can do an assessment of where we think, whether you fit here or not. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay, so when it says that you would not consider life in prison as an option, if for some reason, and this isn't to imply that Mr. Daybell is going to be found guilty, but if we are in front of and the jury makes a decision that it's a guilty verdict, and the court gives you a life sentence as an option, and the death penalty as an option, and you have to decide which of those two you're going to choose. The way I'm reading number 7 there is that you will always choose the death penalty.
I didn't interpret that question that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So is it fair to say then that under certain circumstances you would not impose the death?
Yes, it would depend on the circumstances, yes.
Okay. And you're looking at those items A, B, C, D, E, and F, and G. And that would be on page 13. Did you go to 13 for me? Do you mind? Let me know what you mean. You marked number C. And then right below it is number D. And the only difference between C and D is C says I'm generally in favor of the death penalty, and D says I'm generally opposed. But both of those say I'm going to consider other options. Would you agree with that? With that both of, they're relatively close with the exception of one says generally opposed, one says generally agree. Am I confusing you?
A little bit.
Yeah, I'm sorry. In looking at those, you mark number C, and then right below that is number D. Did you see number D?
Yeah.
And it's basically the same writing in D, except the first part says generally opposed. You see how that's written?
Okay.
Would it be fair to say that you're between the generally opposed and generally agreeable, and that you're more neutral on this, and you're going to take time to look at the facts of the case and make a determination how you're going to vote based on the facts of each individual case?
I suppose so, but I'm not opposed to the death penalty.
And I'm not saying that, but I'm not necessarily saying you're not opposed to it. But when given that opportunity, if that should happen, you're going to weigh both of those equally, aren't you?
Yeah.
And you're not going to rule one way or the other until you have all of the facts and make an informed decision of which way you're going to go. Would that be fair?
Would that be fair?
Okay. Is that how you would feel in this situation? And yeah. You would be neutral and weigh the facts one way or the other before you make that final decision?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Is that how you feel? Or do you feel that you really just agree with the death penalty and
that's where I tend to be wanting to lean. I guess that's what I'm trying to establish here.
I would say I'm not opposed to the death penalty. It's on the tables, and you know, if I feel it's needed, then that's the way I'm going to lean.
Okay. So you're going to look at both circumstances. Then.
Yes.
Okay. And Judge, I have nothing else. Thank you very much.
All right. Juror number 631, then that will conclude the individual for Dyer. Have you returned to the jury room? Thank you for your patience. I know it's been a long day for you today. We'll have you instructed further as soon as we can. We've got a few more to get through, and then we'll call you back into the courtroom shortly. Juror 647. All right, juror 647, thank you for returning. We're going to conduct some additional voir dire here. The court wanted to first address issues of potential bias. I don't believe there were any concerns regarding hardship. Counsel, the court did offer a special instruction, and I would note that this juror has some specific knowledge of the companion case, and so perhaps those are appropriate lines of questions here too. I am going to let the state first inquire as to whether or not there would be a bias to be considered, and then I'll let the defense proceed after that. So who's conducting voir dire here for the state? All right, Ms. Beatty, go ahead.
Hi there. Just a few quick questions. I saw that you had seen a little bit about this case on the news. And I want to specifically talk about on page 15, you indicated that you had seen on the news that Lori Vallow was recently found guilty and sentenced in her case. Knowing that, would you be able to take Mr. Daybell, the defendant, and give him a clean slate and a presumption of innocence going into this case?
Yes.
And be fair and impartial. Okay. And there's nothing else that you saw about this case that would influence your decision-making process in any way? And just you understand that what you've seen on the news or heard on TV or social media is not evidence? Correct. That's all the questions I have, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Pryor.
No questions, Judge.
All right. The next topic then the court will address with you, Juror 647, relates to responses you provided on the questionnaire starting on page 12, and this is on the topic of attitudes regarding the death penalty. Do you recall reading through those questions and answering those in the questionnaire?
Yes.
And are the answers you provided still true and accurate in the way you feel as you sit here today?
Yes.
All right, as I previously stated, in this case, it may be necessary for you to make a determination in regard to the imposition of the death penalty or some other penalty. And remember, any penalty you consider should be done as if it is absolute and will be carried out in the case. So considering that, then you were posed a question about do you support or oppose the death penalty? And to summarize, you said it's more complicated than that for me. Is that a good summary of how you answered? You question marked both of those options.
Yes, because I don't think I actually have a strong opinion. And I know when I got maybe over to page 13 and just talking about that there is law and there is rule, I don't know those and I'm not familiar with it. So that is something that kind of swayed my support or oppose. I would need to have more information.
Okay.
Grasp that, like, understanding of the process.
You stated in your questionnaire that your views on the death penalty would not prevent you from being impartial in this case and viewing the facts impartially. Do you still feel that way?
I do feel that way.
You've also stated that your views on the death penalty would not prevent you from the ability to return a guilty verdict of first-degree murder if the state proved its case beyond a reasonable doubt. Do you still feel that way?
Yep, I still feel the same way.
All right, on page 13, you did circle D out of the choices there to say what most accurately represents how you feel. You said the choice you made, not your words, but in the questionnaire, I am generally opposed to the death penalty, but I believe I can put aside my feelings against the death penalty and impose it if called for by the facts, law, and instructions in the case. You added some additional language on that, but is that still the way you feel at this time?
Given those choices I was given, yes, that was the one that I would say would be closest to my alignment.
Okay, so to be clear, if the court did instruct you that in this particular case you were to consider it, you're telling me that would not impact your ability to return a verdict, is that correct?
Correct.
And if the state proved its case beyond a reasonable doubt, you would be able to return a guilty verdict, is that correct?
Correct.
And likewise, you would be also willing to fully follow any instructions the court gave you, even if it required you to consider the death penalty. Is that accurately how you feel?
Yes, correct.
All right, that will conclude the court's inquiry on Fort Dyer for this topic. I'll let the state proceed if they have any questions.
Your Honor, I don't have any additional questions.
All right, thank you, Ms. Baker.
No questions, Your Honor, thank you.
Okay, juror number 647, then that concludes your individual voir dire. Thank you for your candid responses today. We'll go ahead and have you return to the jury room while we go through our remaining jurors and call you back as soon as we can. Okay, thanks for your patience. Juror number 653 will be next. All right, juror 653, thank you for returning for some additional voir dire questioning. There's a bit of previous case knowledge you do have. In addition, there was a concern of hardship. Let me first ask you some additional questions about the potential hardship here. You did fill out on your questionnaire, and you said it could be a financial hardship given 10 weeks and no paycheck. Is that still the position you're at currently?
No, that was before my employer told me that I was covered.
Okay, thank you so much for clarifying that. Given that, then, do you have any concerns about a hardship if you are required to serve in this case?
No.
All right. With that, then, let's have this voir dire limited to any questions on potential bias with some case knowledge, and then we'll move on to the next topic if we get through there, beginning with the state.
Your Honor, the state doesn't have any questions as to bias or case knowledge on the armature. Sure.
Okay.
No questions, Judge.
All right. So, juror number 653, then the next topic we would discuss, is it in relation to your answers about your attitudes regarding the death penalty?
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall reading through those questions and answering those questions on that topic?
It
starts on page 12 in the questionnaire, if you want to refer to your copy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, are the answers you provided in that section of the questionnaire still true and accurate?
Yes, it is.
And that's the way you feel as you sit here today?
Yes, it is.
You indicated that you would support the death penalty and say you agree it's appropriate under Idaho law. Is that correct?
If it's appropriate, yeah.
All right. And on page 13, you were given some options about what best represents how you feel. You circled D. And D says, I am generally opposed to the death penalty, but believe I can put aside my feelings against the death penalty and impose it if it is called for by the facts, law, and instructions in the case. So do you believe that accurately represents your feelings about the topic?
As far as all of the choices were, that was the closest, I guess. I'm not just straight all for it, and I'm not straight against it. It's just...
Okay, in this case, I will advise you that it may be necessary for you to, in fact, make a determination here on the topic of death penalty and make a decision in regard to the imposition of the death penalty or some other penalty. And you need to consider that as if it would be done and would be absolute and carried out in the case. So knowing that, then where you've indicated maybe some opposition to it, would you be willing to follow the court's instructions in this case, even as it relates to any instructions on the death penalty?
Correct. No way.
Okay. Is there anything about your personal views or opinions or beliefs which would make you be unable to or unwilling to follow any jury instructions provided to you?
No, not at all.
Do you have a feeling that or a belief that it would be appropriate for the death penalty to be imposed in every case where a murder has been committed?
No.
Okay, so you'd be willing to consider each case independently based on a court's instruction?
Independently on the facts of the case.
All right. That will conclude the court's inquiry as it relates to this juror. Does the state have any questions for juror 653 on that issue?
We have no questions, Your Honor.
No questions, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you for returning, juror 653. We'll have you go back to the jury room, and we should be getting to you pretty quick here to release you for the evening. We'll next bring in juror 686. All right, welcome back, juror number 686. This is the time we have for some individual questioning. I'd note that you didn't indicate any previous knowledge of the case. So in terms of bias, I'll just inquire of the state. Will the state waive any further voir dire on bias?
Your Honor, I have no questions regarding bias or hardship.
All right.
I don't either, Judge.
Okay. I've actually got one I do want to follow up on hardship, just to be clear here, juror 686. So you said the length of the trial wouldn't be a problem. You did make one comment on page 20, and you said that with the court's trial schedule of finishing each day at 3:30, it said that time would allow me to continue to fulfill work obligations. So I wanted to sort of clarify what may be happening here. Is it your proposal to us or yourself that would you believe you're going to be working full time or maintaining whatever current job you have while this trial is going for those 10 weeks?
Not full time, part time. I'm a resident for my clinic, and so I would either need to contact the residency board and my company and kind of let them know that I'm going to be completely off for 10 weeks or work, you know, a few hours every day just to kind of maintain my residency position.
Okay. The reason I bring that up is I believe you may find between the time to get here, leave, and listen to trial through a day, that might you might be mentally exhausted and done working. So I just want to dispel any sense that maybe somebody could work full-time and do this full-time. I think it'd be very difficult. So I appreciate your response. The court raised that. Any further questions on his work obligations from the state?
I guess just briefly with that additional information, does anything about that in your mind impact your ability to sit on a jury in this matter?
No, if I'm here, I'm committed.
Thank you. I have no additional questions.
Okay.
No questions, Judge. Thank you.
All right. The next topic then we'll get to is on your attitudes regarding the death penalty. That was addressed in the questionnaire starting on page 12. Do you recall reading through those questions and answering those questions?
I do.
As you sit here today, do you think your responses are still accurate in the way you feel?
I do.
All right, let me just advise you that in this case, it may be necessary for you to make a determination in regard to the imposition of the death penalty or some other penalty. And remember, any penalty you consider should be considered as if it is absolute and will be carried out in this case. So with that in mind, I'll note you had a choice first on page 12 on the question, do you support or oppose the death penalty? You said you support the death penalty. Is that still your position here today?
It is.
You next stated you didn't think any opinion you held on that would prevent you from being an impartial juror. Is that still the way you feel?
Correct.
And do you believe you'd be able to follow all of the court's instructions relating to the death penalty if they were provided in this case?
I do.
All right. On your selections on page 13, where we gave you some options about what most accurately represents the way you feel, you selected choice D that said, I am generally opposed to the death penalty, but I believe I can put aside my feelings against the death penalty and impose it if it is called for by the facts, law, and instructions in the case. Is that the way you feel about it?
Yes.
Okay, so with that general opposition, I'll just ask you to cover this. Does that mean you're not in favor of the death penalty in every case?
So I guess to clarify, I support the death penalty as an option. I personally feel that I generally oppose it just because I feel that death might be considered an easy way out for some people. And so part of that goes along with the argument against it, which is the life imprisonment in a small cell would be, I consider, a far worse punishment than killing someone.
Okay. Given all of your thoughts on this then and your responses, is it correct for me to say that you would be willing to follow any court's instructions, even if it required you to consider the death penalty on proof of evidence by the state?
Yes.
All right, that will conclude the court's voir dire on that topic for this juror 686. Does the state have any questions?
The state does not have any additional questions.
All right, thank you. From the questions. Okay, juror 686. Thank you for returning for individual voir dire. We're going to talk to one more juror individually, and then we'll bring you back in.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Our final juror of this group will be juror 740. All right, juror 740, thank you for returning. We've got some additional individual questions for you. Do you recall filling out and completing the questionnaire last week?
Yes.
And is everything you provided in there still true and accurate as well as you remember?
Yes.
Okay. Counsel, there are some indications here both of potential hardship and also a knowledge of the case we need to discuss. Let me first indicate, you said, and we don't need to discuss terms, you can if you would like, you've got a medical procedure that would need to be rescheduled. You did indicate you thought that would be a hardship. If you were required to serve here for 10 weeks, let me just confirm, is it still the status, as you mentioned in here, that that procedure would have to be rescheduled?
Yes.
And how, can you just explain to me a little bit about how much of a hardship that would be, or whether you just simply think that shouldn't be rescheduled?
No, I don't think it'll be a hardship. I can just have it rescheduled until August or...
Okay, so it's an elective procedure and it's not on some critical time frame. Okay, that was my only question on that. Counsel, you can inquire further on any hardship. In addition, there is some case knowledge, starting with the state. If you'd like a question on bias, we'll begin there.
Your Honor, Juror 740, so reading over your questionnaire, it looks like you have followed this case fairly closely. Is that accurate?
Yes.
And it looks like, and I'm not going to delve into it, but you know a lot of the facts, or at least the facts as reported by the media.
Correct.
And you're familiar with the defendant's, with his wife's case.
Correct.
And you mentioned... Did you follow that trial?
Just from the news reports.
The news reports, okay. But you did keep current with it?
Yes.
Okay. And is there, you have your questionnaire with you. Could you open it to page 19 and question 10D?
Yes.
And so is it fair, and I don't want to mischaracterize what you've said, but is it fair to say that you feel as though the media has portrayed this defendant as guilty?
Correct.
And you then go on to say you'd be able to put that out of your mind and render an impartial verdict.
I think I can.
Okay. Thank you for your honesty. you understand that the state has the burden of proof,
correct?
And this defendant has the benefit of the presumption. He is innocent until proven guilty. And so when you say, I think I can, And there's not a wrong answer. There's nothing wrong with your answer, just to be clear. Can you understand how both the state and the defendant might be concerned that that's not an unqualified yes, I can set it aside?
Yes.
I did want to ask another question, may relate to bias. And I don't want to go into the details of it. It sounds like one of your siblings may have gotten into a little bit of trouble.
Correct.
Would that affect how you view law enforcement or the court system in any way?
I have a bias against how his court is
handled. Okay. Thank you for your honesty. Do you think, is it possible that that might even unintentionally seep into how you view this case?
It's possible, but I think it would seep in that innocent until guilty.
Okay. So on the benefit of the defense.
Yes.
Your Honor, based on Juror 740's answer, they think they can, but without that unqualified ability to state that she can render an impartial verdict, the state would move to excuse 740 for cause.
Response from the defense.
Judge, I guess I given that slightly unclear answer about whether she could or not, she's sure. I'm sure she tried to do her best. I'm sure she would. But I think I have to stipulate and agree with the state.
All right. There's been a motion to strike the cause 740 from the state, not opposed by the defense. The court is likewise concerned that too much knowledge and information about this case may have led to a shifting of the burden against the presumption of innocence of the defendant. Again, it's nothing personal. Everybody's certainly entitled to follow the news. Many people do, and oftentimes draw opinions based on what they've seen. In this particular case, that would make it inappropriate for you to continue on as a juror. So you have faithfully concluded your service as a juror in this case. Thank you so much for taking the time you did to come in today, as well as filling out your questionnaire last week. You will be excused for cause, and please leave your copy of your questionnaire at the bailiff on your way out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right. If I correctly organized my stack here, biggest number smallest, we should have returning here jurors 686, 653, 647, 631, 536, 526, and 505. Did I catch all of your numbers there? Is there anybody here that I didn't call their number? Okay. Thank you for returning then. At this time, I'm going to ask, beginning with the state here, will the state pass these remaining jurors for cause?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
Does the defense pass this group for cause?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you. I know it's been a long day for you, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. You have been passed for cause. We'll continue to question additional groups of jurors until we reach the necessary number we need to exercise peremptory challenges. You're going to receive additional instructions through our jury commissioner, Andy Rutland, who will advise you of when you will be required to return to find out if you are selected to serve in this case. While you are waiting for that to happen, please follow the court's previous admonishment not to do anything to develop the bias in this case by investigating the case. Don't do any investigation of the case. Look into the case. Discuss your jury service with anyone other than to talk about potentially arranging schedules to provide for your jury service. And I'll be asking you to complete an admonishment when you return that you have followed that instruction and not investigated the case. If anybody wants to talk to you about the case, don't allow them to. And if they persist, you can report that to the court. With that in mind, then, I believe this group of jurors can be excused, awaiting further instructions on when you'll return. Anything else before we allow them to be released today from the state?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
From the defense?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. If everyone, please rise. We'll let these jurors be excused.
Ms. Lakens.
Thank you. Please be seated. Counsel, we have another group lined up for tomorrow, 9 o'clock, given the schedule and where we went today. The good news is we did go through a lot of jurors and get some available for peremptory challenge. It took a while, and we still need to get through questionnaires to be releasing jurors that simply aren't going to be able to serve, so we don't have so many being held up. So my proposition is to do that group at 9 and then work through some questionnaires and a few other additional matters the court needs to attend to. Does the state approve of that plan going forward for tomorrow's schedule?
Yes, Your Honor. If I might inquire if the court happens to have an idea of how many groups you'd like us to have ready to do the questionnaires.
Okay, I'll probably address that as an administrative matter off the record, and we can talk about that before we leave today. From the defense, are you okay with that time, Mr. Pryor?
Yes, I am.
Okay, we'll take up that group tomorrow then. We'll go off the record at this point, and I'll talk to counsel about preparation for jury questionnaire reviews tomorrow. That will conclude the proceedings. Thanks, everyone, for complying with the court's administrative order for the courtroom. We'll be in recess.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.